Well, good morning, Lakeside family and friends and all of you that are joining us here this morning. It's a very great privilege of mine to be able to speak to you in this venue. It's so uncommon for believers who God has desired to put together to have a fellowship, to rub shoulders, shake hands, give hugs. If we were over in the Near East, a holy kiss. And yet in the day in which we live, none of that is reasonable or probably responsible. And so we live in an unsettling day. And so I'm so thankful to be here in this venue with you. If you're in your living room or wherever you happen to be watching. When I thought about this week, my mind immediately went to Psalm 23. And so if you're in your living room and you have a Bible, open it up. Otherwise, the six short verses will be on the screen here behind me, and I'll refer to them. But I thought of Psalm 23, one of the most beloved, if not the most beloved chapter in all of the Bible. A chapter of Scripture that has brought comfort to millions upon millions. A chapter that has brought comfort to me over and over again in my own life. And so this week and next week, I would like to spend some time meditating on, contemplating Psalm 23 and the truths, the beautiful truths that are contained in Psalm 23 in this unsettling day in which we live. I just want you to know if there's any way that myself or Lakeside could minister to you, we want to serve, we want to minister in this day of anxiety and fear and being unsettled. We want to minister to you. Psalm 23. Now, David wrote Psalm 23, and David was a shepherd boy long before he was king. A matter of fact, when Samuel went to find the king that God wanted him to anoint, as he went to Jesse's home, David was out tending sheep, and David was actually being a shepherd, doing the work of a shepherd while he was anointed king. And so in Psalm 23, then, David gives us personal testimony from his personal experience of God's unbelievable faithfulness through the valleys, through the mountaintops, through the difficulties of life. For me, Psalm 23 has passed the test of time. It's given me and my family and those I love comfort time and time again. It's the right portion of Scripture to go to today, and it's the first portion of Scripture that I thought about for the day in which we lived. Now, Psalm 23 is the most memorized portion of Scripture, and it's the first portion of Scripture I ever memorized some 35 plus years ago. I'm going to read it. Today we're just going to cover the first couple of verses, but I'm going to read Psalm 23, six verses, and I want you to join me in your living room or wherever you happen to be. It'll be good for your soul to not only follow along with me, but you read it with me. Use your voice and let's read the beautiful words of Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, read it with me. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He, the shepherd, leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Now I'm going to start us with a word of prayer here before I share some thoughts and meditations and contemplations from the first couple of verses of Psalm 23. But I want you to know that I feel the unsettledness. I feel the anxiety. I feel the personally the day in which we live. As a matter of fact, this is very personal to me. My son, John, who is a pastor at a church in New Jersey, their church in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, has been hit somewhat hard by the COVID-19 virus. Numerous ones of the 148 in their church are in the hospital. One of the men from their church is fighting for his life as I speak. Numerous others have been tested. And the whole church is in quarantine in their individual homes. So today, as I pray and share meditations, I'm entering into whatever you're feeling. I'm experiencing it myself. And I'm thankful for the God and the Lord and the Shepherd of Psalm 23. Let me lead us in a word of prayer before we look at the first couple of verses of Psalm 23. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Father, we ask you for your mercy and your goodness. Lord, I would ask you on behalf of the Lakeside family and friends and those who are joining us today. Lord, would you grant us physical and emotional and spiritual strength? Would you watch over us? Would your goodness and mercy follow us? And would you lead us? Father, I think of all of those who are anxious and unsettled. I think of our medical workers from our own church, one of which I talked to just before the service. And I pray for our medical people in our county, in our community, in our nation. Pray for our leaders. I pray for our president, our vice president, and the health council, and the senators and the House of Representatives. Lord, help them to be wise and discerning and caring and compassionate. Lord, help us as Lakeside Fellowship to seize the moment, to serve like we've never served before, to sacrificially give like we've never given before. Lord, I'm so thankful that the gospel is the power of you unto salvation to everyone who believes. I'm so thankful, Lord, that your word never returns void. And Isaiah said it always accomplishes that for which it's sent. Lord, I would pray a peace and a calmness over all of those watching in their living rooms, wherever they're at right now, through the meditations and through the truths and the beautiful truths of Psalm 23. Lord, would you meet with us? Would you do a work in each and every one of us? And Father, I'll thank you for it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now just stop right there and pause. And just repeat with me again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Two beautiful statements side by side. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Two beautiful statements. And I'll share some thoughts on those two beautiful statements. But I also want you, as you look at that verse, the first verse of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want you to notice that there are two names or two titles for God. He is Lord. And if you know him personally, he's your shepherd. Both of those titles or names are filled with meaning and filled with comfort. Psalm 9 in verse 10 says this, "And those who know your name," speaking about God's name, "and those who know your name put their trust in you." If there's anything that Dave needs, if there's anything that my wife needs, if there's anything my family needs, if there's anything that you need right now, it's to put your trust in God. Now, let's be honest. Until something like this comes along, we're prone to put our trust in our 401ks or our job or our health or our sports teams or whatever that would be. And so God is saying through his word that if you will just understand who I am, if you will understand the meaning of the names that I choose for myself, then you will put your trust in him. And so today I'm just begging you and pleading with you and encouraging you, whatever word you want to use there, to put your trust in the Lord and the who is the shepherd of Psalm 23. A name in Scripture, especially God's name, always signify who God is and what God's capable of doing and what God desires to do for you. And so it is with these first two names or titles that we see in the very first verse of Psalm 23. Let me spend a couple of moments on each of these, and let me start with the name, the title, Lord. I want you to notice in your Bibles or on your screen as you're watching that it is this word Lord, this title, this name is all capital letters. And that's to signify that it is the most frequent and the most important name for God found in all of Scripture. Matter of fact, those who have more of an interest in these kind of things than I, the name Lord to describe God is used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament alone. It's the most important name for God. It was revealed in Exodus chapter 3 to Moses when he was shaken in his boots and he was confused and he was filled with anxiety. He didn't know what to do. And God said to him to calm down that I am Lord. I am Lord. And so the name was given to Moses to bring comfort and calm. And that's what God wants to do in the very first verse of Psalm 23. Now, the name and title, this most important name for God, has a number of meanings, a number of characteristics to it that are all wrapped up in this word, Lord. The name chiefly refers to his timelessness. He's the eternal God. It refers to his self-sufficiency. And this is going to be important as we go through Psalm 23. The title and the name Lord means he needs nothing. There's nothing that he doesn't have that he needs. He has everything that he needs. And we're going to find out he has everything that we need. So he needs nothing. He's self-sufficient. The word Lord, the title, the name means that he's the sovereign one. He controls everything. He controls everything. And then lastly, and I think David, when he used this title to describe his experience with God, he's Lord. The fourth kind of characteristic besides just being sovereign and self-sufficient and eternal, it gives the idea and it refers to the fact that he's always present. He's the present one. And David was comforted as he walked through the anxieties in the valleys of life, that that God was his ever-present one, and we'll see that in Psalm 23. Now, here's an amazing thing, and I want you to see this with me just from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he's Lord, he's sovereign. He doesn't need anything. He's always present. He's in control of everything. He's self-sufficient. He's timeless. He's the eternal one. But I want you to notice this. So the natural response for me and for you then, as we come into the presence of the Almighty One, the Eternal One, is to fall down before him, to get low before him, to see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I want you to notice right now something very important in verse 1. Here he is. David said he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think David was amazed at this. And this is what David wants to tell us right up front in Psalm 23. Not only is he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but amazingly, he chooses to be your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. Now, let me just talk a moment about the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, being a shepherd. Let me just talk to you a couple moments about being a shepherd. Now, it was considered the lowliest of all professions, the lowliest in the Near East. It always fell to the youngest son in the family. He was required to tend the sheep. David was the youngest son in the family, and he was required to tend sheep. When I was thinking about that in the last couple of days, that the youngest son had to do that, it brought back memories of when I lived in the Breda and Carroll area, lived in Breda, mostly is this memory. And I can remember that there were weeks assigned to each one of us four kids where we had to dry the dishes. And it wasn't a job I wanted to do, and I made it miserable for my mom. And I can remember even saying, and I'm sure my mom will remember this. I remember even saying, we always have the big meals when it's my turn to dry the dishes, and just complained all the way through. Why did I have to do this? Well, that's what it would have been like to be the youngest son in the family and be a shepherd. Why am I stuck with those sheep? 24/7 presence with the sheep, months on end. It was the loneliest. It was the dirtiest. It was the least respected profession in all the Near East. If you were a shepherd, the Jews would not allow you to go into the temple because they would consider you unclean. You are not allowed to be a witness in a court of law because you just were so despised and looked down on. So here's the question I ask, and I want you to think about right from verse 1. Who in their right mind, if they had a choice, would choose to be a shepherd? And we would say, no one. And David is telling us right up front, God did. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he chooses to be my and your shepherd, the lowliest position he could take. Instead of us bowing down before him, which we should rightfully do in worship, he intentionally is picturing himself as stooping down towards us so that he can care for us and so that he can protect us and he can direct us and he can watch over us. Now, we'll look at this next week in a little bit more detail, but for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for the Creator of God to be my shepherd, he had to become one of us. And so often at Christmas time, we sing about Emmanuel, which means God with us. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, chooses to be my shepherd and your shepherd in great times of need. Now we know from John 10, and the verses are up on the screen, and other scriptures, that Jesus in the New Testament, the Son of God himself who became man, Jesus is both Lord and shepherd. And we can, as I read a couple of verses from John 10, you're going to be able to see then that Psalm 23, although written hundreds of years before Jesus, was actually a portrait of none other than Jesus. Let me read you a couple of select verses from John chapter 10 from the mouth of Jesus himself. Jesus said in John 10, verse 14 and 15, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then John 10, verses 3 through 5, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Let me just stop, and I'll refer to this a couple of times, but do you know the voice of your shepherd, the one who desires to be your shepherd? Do you know his voice? Through all of the busyness of the TV networks, and do you hear his voice? I'm not sure all of what the reasons are for God allowing this virus to spread like this, but I know one of them is to slow us down and even stop us in our place so that we'll be able to hear the still small voice of God. I'm going to confess that I'm probably, like you, the voice of either CNN or Fox News or social media was so loud in our lives. And God is saying, no, I want to be your shepherd. I want you to recognize my voice. So then verse 5 of John 10, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, if you look at verse 1 again, the Lord is my shepherd. The next phrase says, I shall not want. I shall not want. So the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has stooped down to be your shepherd. And David is saying, my experience as a shepherd boy and my experience with God and the difficulties in the valleys of life is that the Lord himself, the Creator God, is my personal shepherd, and I shall not want. We would pay any amount of money that we have. We would almost do anything to be in a place of total contentment, to not have any wants, to have all of our needs met. And David is saying, knowing who God is, that he's Lord, and personally experiencing him as shepherd, he shall not want. He will not want. And it literally means not to be without that which is necessary or profitable. Now, sheep left to themselves lack everything. They're the most helpless animals God's created. They're totally defenseless. Oh, they need a shepherd. They need a hand. They need an outside voice to make it through life. And so we have Jesus as the good shepherd, the Lord who himself needs nothing. That's what the name Lord means. He lacks nothing, he needs nothing. He's going to be a shepherd to a group of people who need everything. We're the most needy people. In Scripture, the sheep are the picture of us humans. So in each of the next five verses, 2 through 6, we're going to experience and see the presence and the provision of the good shepherd. His name is Jesus, for his sheep. So let me point out the first one here this morning. Here's the first thing that I want us to see, and it'll be the main thing today. The shepherd provides the calmness when we are riddled with anxiety. The shepherd provides calmness when we are riddled with anxiety. Now, if you're alone in your home, you're probably going to be more prone to follow me on this, but I'll lead the way. By raise of hands, wherever you're at, amongst your family, if you're by yourself or whatever, I'll do it in front of all of you. Who needs a sense of calmness in this unsettled time where we're riddled with anxiety? I'm just going to tell you I do. And the shepherd provides a calmness when we are riddled with anxiety. Now, I have a couple of pictures all on one screen that I would like to show you. And the pictures were sent to me by a member couple from our church, John and Gloria Stewart. Matter of fact, that's John in the top picture there, walking the sheep in. And John and Gloria have been in the sheep business, showing championship sheep for over 27 years now. And they know sheep. And so these are a couple pictures of their place, and you see the sheep grazing there on the left, and that's kind of a fall picture on the right. And so I've been conversing with John the last couple of days about the shepherd and about sheep and hearing the voice. And so let me share with you a couple things now. I want to remind you, we're the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd. So here's what John shared. Number one, the voice of the shepherd, or the heart of the shepherd, the person of the shepherd, knows the voice of the sheep. So the shepherd knows the voice of the sheep. I'm not going to do the sound of the sheep. They'll be able to splice that and use that in better days down the road. But they make the sound. You have, if their kids in the living room, make the sheep sound right now for yourself. They bleat. They make this noise that's very discernible. And John told me that the sheep let their voices be known to the shepherd in a number of circumstances. When they lose their way, the sheep make noise and they let the shepherd know. John said that he would have sheep and there would be a normal path to the barn, and they'd have to go over a bridge. And even though it was a familiar path, oftentimes sheep would lose their way and they would make a very discernible noise. Sometimes when coyotes are in the area, they would sense danger and they would let the shepherd know. When there's a lost lamb during lambing season, and the lamb would be lost, and so there would be a discernible noise, and John would go out and find the baby lamb and put it with mama. When one of the sheep, or at different times when they get their head stuck in a fence, they would make a very discernible noise. Wow, that's probably a picture of where I'm at on a weekly basis. When they fall on their back, it's commonly known that they're almost like a turtle. If they're totally on their back, they can't get back on their feet without the shepherd. And again, these are a picture of us. When they're hungry and they need to be fed, the shepherd can hear their voice. So the shepherd knows their voice, but then John also shared with me that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And so here was a common experience with John. As they were raising sheep, they would be up to a half mile away, often not that far, but up to a half mile away, and John would call for the sheep. And the very first thing they would do is they'd go from grazing or wherever they're at, and their heads would perk up, and they would look around. And then John would give a second call, and it was like a stampede. It didn't matter how far away they are. Man, they're running. They're just panting. They're not slowing down. Almost to a point where it would be dangerous for them. Here's why they came running. They knew if John was calling them, if the shepherd was calling them, they were going to get fed. They knew that when needed, they were going to get sprayed for insects that were biting and being pests to them. They knew if the shepherd called, they were going to be moved to even a better pasture. They knew that there would be a cleaning of their wools to get the burrs out, maybe to give their feet some care. They knew that the shepherd's voice would calm them. The shepherd would know their individual personalities and preferences. The shepherd would lay down dry straw so they'd have a place to lay in comfort and peace. And then when the sheep came and they were in the midst of John like that, there was a calmness that came over them. And so we then, as sheep of his pasture, with him being our shepherd, we should take the initiative to call out to him. He cares. We should let him know what's going on in our life. We should share with him what we're feeling, what the emotions are, what's going on in our life, the anxieties. It'd be okay every once in a while, drop on your knees and just say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. But you should be comforted not by you just taking the initiative, but the Lord, Jesus himself, is taking the initiative, and he's calling out to you. He's calling to you this morning through this passage of Scripture. Now look at verse 2, and I'll start bringing this to a conclusion for our time this morning, and then we'll pick it up next week again. Look at the beautiful truce and picture of verse 2. So he's the Lord, he's the shepherd. David's not going to want. And here's why David's not going to want: because the shepherd makes him lie down in green pastures, and he leads me, David said, beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Now, one of our elders, Doug Olfest, this week, as we were praying for the church family and strategizing how we can minister to people in this new normal for this period of time that we're in, he was reading Psalm 23, and he said the Lord kind of caused a pause to come over him when he read the phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So let me speak to that for just a moment. When I was a young child, living in Carroll, Iowa, going to kindergarten there at the school, we would bring our mats, and even though I don't think it was a full day according to my memory, there was a period of time where the kindergarten teacher made us all lay down and take a nap. I hated to lay down and take a nap. That was the last thing I wanted to do. And I have a vivid memory of the teacher walking by, and I would fake having my eyes closed because inside I was playing all kinds of games, and I couldn't wait to get outside and play a little baseball or run around or do whatever I was going to do. I hated to lie down. When I got a little bit older, my sister Kim and I, there was a floor vent, so it was open, so the heat would come up to the second floor through the vent, and we hated to be put to bed. We wanted to know what was going on downstairs, and so we would be over that vent, and we'd be listening to the conversations downstairs. And so I don't know how you feel, but Americans, with all the freedoms we have, we hate to be told or made to do something. Our nature is just to hate it, to rebel against it. And what David is saying, what the Spirit of God is saying through Psalm 23 and in verse 2 right here, is that God understands that we don't always know what's best for us. So there are seasons, there are times where God himself is going to make us lie down. And David is saying there's no need to resist when God slows your life down, when God brings something into your life to cause pause, to break up the norm, the busyness of the norm, because he's going to make you lie down in green pastures. Apparently, sheep and us, we're not very good at recognizing what are green pastures. We think the job promotion or this or that or whatever is the green pasture. I can remember in the business world, I'd make so much money, and then I would say in my mind, if I could just make this much, then I would really be happy, and that number just kept moving. He makes us lie down in green pastures. And part of what is going on today is God wanting to do a work in your life, and he's making you lie down so that you will be still. Know that he is God. We don't know what to do, but God, our eyes are on you. Would you just maybe for the first time in your life, even if you've been highly religious all of your life, would you just be still? Tell God your needs and listen for him to respond. Sheep are fearful animals that are easily panicked, and when scared, they don't easily lie down. So God in his goodness brings about circumstances and events and people to make us lie down, to rest in the green pastures. So God in his goodness, in his role as shepherd, his role as caretakers, allows circumstances or times to come into my life that force me to pause, stop doing business as usual. The shepherd then steps in and does for us what we will not or cannot do for ourselves. Be still and know that I am God. Now, Psalm 23 is teaching, and the rest of the Word of God proclaims that these still waters, that these green pastures are found in a person. So David is saying, and the gospel writers of the New Testament are saying, the green pastures and the still waters are not an activity. They're not a building. They're not a possession. They're a person. And his name is Jesus. And so the times that we're living in are meant, one reason we can know for sure is to drive us to the person of Christ and to have a personal relationship. I'm so thankful that my mom always had me in church, and I learned all about God, and I learned all about Jesus, and I was taught that he was sinless, and he was born of a virgin, and that he died on the cross, and that he was buried, and he rose the third day, and then he ascended into heaven, and one day he's coming back. For whatever reason, it wasn't until I was a 20-year-old that I realized that he did that for me and that he wanted more than just the religion. He wanted a personal relationship with me. Jesus says, and you can look it up later on your own in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus is speaking. He said, well, here it is on the screen. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say primarily come to Dave, come to Lakeside Fellowship, come to a church, come to a, you know, he says, come to me, a person. A personal relationship with Christ through his finished work on the cross, where he laid down his life, where he will give eternal life and forgiveness of sins if we just ask and surrender to him. A personal relationship with Christ. Now listen to me as I close. It's one thing to know the 23rd Psalm. And we're going to ask our whole church family, and as friends watching, you can join us. We're going to memorize the 23rd Psalm in the next 2 weeks. You can do it. I'm ahead of you in that I memorized it 35 years ago, but I'll be with you praying for you. We're going to memorize it. But it's one thing to know the 23rd Psalm, and it's quite another to personally know the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. Most of you know the 23rd Psalm. What God is begging in our unsettled day is that you would know personally the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. Now, as I close, I'm going to read Psalm 23 for us once again. And here's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice the personal pronouns that David used when he wrote about his relationship with the Lord and the shepherd. Read it with me. Notice the personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think I counted 17 personal pronouns in 6 short verses. And so here's my pleading with you. Here's my encouragement. Do you know Christ personally? Have you trusted in the finished work of Christ on the cross? When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Not his life. He's alive today. He rose from the dead. The work of paying for your sin, it's finished. Like, be still and know that he's Savior and Lord. Ask him to take your sins away. Come into your life. Grant you eternal life. And then he can become your shepherd. He must be Lord and Savior, and then he desires to be shepherd. Do you know him as Lord? Do you know him as Savior? And if it not, right where you're at, write it wherever you're watching here this morning. Just admit to him right now, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come in and take my sins away. I am a sinner. Thank you for dying. Give me forgiveness. Give me the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to live for you. I want a personal relationship with you." The one who provides calmness when riddled with anxiety is none other than the Lord and Shepherd, Jesus Christ. I'm going to have a word of prayer and then a couple of closing just announcements and encouragements for you. Father, thank you again. I thank you for the 23rd Psalm. I thank you for each that you've gathered. Lord, you're a sovereign God, so there's no accident for anyone who is watching here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would draw each of them into a personal relationship with you, that they might be able to experience what I've experienced, what the shepherd boy and King David experienced, that with you there's a calmness in the midst of anxiety. And I thank you for it. In Christ's precious name, amen. Well, thanks so much, and we'll pick up this series next week. Normally, when we close with what's called a gold card, and it's just an opportunity for people to respond. And so obviously, we don't have the physical gold card, but we do have a digital version of this connection card, and it's on our website, and it's been put in the comments of the live stream. And here's what I would love for you to do. I'd love for you to connect with us and communicate with us via that. There's a place to put a prayer request. There's a place to put a response. And then this week, and we'll do this going forward, I wrote, I think, 5 different questions or activities that you can do as a family based on our study this morning of Psalm 23. I would love to hear from you. Please, I may not be able to get to you, but if you could respond this way, email us, call the church office, however, so I can pray for you, I can encourage you, I can know what God's doing in your life. Let's stay connected. And if this is your first time, welcome to the Lakeside family. You're our friend. We want you to be a part. I want to be your pastor. So thank you for this time, and you have a great day today. Thank you.